bucks higher than a year earlier. There's a good chance you're still lending a big financial hand to your kids. A recent study from Bank of America found that 31% of parents say they are supporting their children more now than they did before COVID. And many said they're willing to pay for major expenses of life events. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Did you know that Subaru has earned more IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus awards than Honda, Toyota, or Hyundai brands as of April 2021? And did you know also that 96% of Subaru vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today? And according to J.D. Power, Subaru has the highest brand loyalty in the automotive industry for 2 years in a row. And there's more. Subaru is a 13-time overall United States Rally Championship title holder. And just like those championship vehicles, every Subaru model comes standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive. When it comes to Subaru, the more you know, the more you love. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Vehicle longevity based on Experian automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations from model year 2011 through 2020 as of December 2020. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
You know more because you start your day with Andrew McKay, the Pensacola Morning News, 5 till 9 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bulk garbage pickups. You know, when I first, prior to me coming on, I was thinking those were full-time employees, right? The bulk garbage pickup, and wasn't aware that we hired actually day labor. As you all know right now, day labor or any labor is hard to come by. So please bear with us right now. There's some proposals to entice some of our day labor to come on, as well as hiring additional drivers. So that's been a big issue right now. Our guys are working, most of our guys and girls are working overtime to keep up. So we're shorthanded on drivers.
This is Kevin Stevens. He's the District 5 representative for the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA, at the town hall for District 5 held by Commissioner Stephen Berry last week. Bruce Woody is the executive director at ECUA. He was there also and spoke, and he's joining us now by phone on the observed 4th of July holiday. I appreciate that. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you. Let's start there. Where are we at with drivers in particular? I know everybody is short of CDL drivers, and it's this mad scramble to just get back to like head above water feeling with the fleet. But is that where ECUA is at right now?
Well, ECUA is not immune to the same driver shortages that everybody's facing right now. So we are in tough competition for other folks that are looking for talented drivers with good records. And so we've been doing things such as raising rates and trying to also promote that we're a good entity to work for. One of the few employers nowadays that still offers pensions as well as a good working environment.
Are we, if you looked at us, say, over the last, I don't know, 6 months to a year, you tell me if that's not the right time frame, are we in a negative driver situation where we're losing drivers? Are we holding even? Are we gaining even a little bit? And I assume that we're down off of what you'd like to have, right?
Well, we had a couple things happen this last year. We did discontinue our service over in Santa Rosa, so we started out the year actually in a positive situation with extra drivers because of that consolidation. We had done that to help keep up with the growth that we're having here in Escambia County. In fact, added 5 additional routes to help work on that growth. But over the course of the year with COVID, we've suffered the same way everybody else has. We lost drivers for various reasons, and we're holding our own, but we need to have more reserves so we're not working our staff quite as much overtime.
Okay, so the situation is right now we're short, not horribly short, but short to the point where we're having to, you know, do overtime in order to get all the routes covered, and that's why you'd like to staff up a little bit. And the main problem you run into in that regard is not being able to pay people competitive against what other people are paying. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, it is. In fact, we're trying to address that in the next fiscal year 22 budget.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's one part of it, is just having the truck drivers. I know the other part that Kevin Stevens mentioned there was the laborer shortage. And I also didn't realize that we had short-term labor, day labor, that kind of stuff. How much of what I would call non-traditional employee labor does ECUA use? What are they used for, and how much of a shortage do we have in that department?
It's not a tremendous amount, but we use them in two areas in particular, predominantly for assistance picking up yard waste.
Okay.
We have a ECUA employee drive our vehicle, but we have day laborers that help us pick up the labor and pick up the yard waste in the at the back of the truck. We also have day laborers help us out at the materials recovery facility, sometimes referred to as the MRF. That facility where all the sorting is going on predominantly uses day labor as well.
Okay, so we're using, pardon the term, but we're using unskilled labor in places where what you need is, you know, basic, just you need bodies, okay, to do the work, like picking up from the side of the road for the excess waste or yard waste and things like that, or at the MRF, as you say, at the recycling facility. And there again, my understanding is that day laborers just about don't exist. Like, it's just, you can't, it's not that we don't have enough, it's like we don't have any. Is it that bad?
It is a challenge. One of the things that we're doing to help address that over the long term is we're making investments in technology. Over at the materials recovery facility, we've got some of those sorting functions can be done fairly efficiently through robotic technology that uses cameras to identify the different material types and then picks up those materials during the sorting process.
Hmm.
So we are making some investments in that that will help reduce our dependence on day laborers at that facility. And then for the yard trash, where you've also invested in a prototype truck that will allow our regular route drivers to pick up at least bulky waste. And if that works well, we may extend that on to yard waste as well. But that's a long-term, multi-year investment on into the future.
We're still doing the composting and still selling that and still making that available to people, right? That side of there's, because I know there's like three operations, right? There's the regular trash that goes to the landfill. There's recyclables that go to the MRF, and then there's the yard waste that goes into the composting operation off of your facility up north. Is that still happening and still selling? Is that right?
Yes. One of our highest priorities and in our goals for the entire organization is to be as environmentally friendly as we can, and so our emphasis on recycling and at all stages is high. The compost facility continues to run a very good operation. It not only uses the yard waste that we pick up and compost, it also uses some of the biosolids from the wastewater treatment plant, and the final product is a product very rich in nutrients, and our customers get to enjoy that when they're refertilizing their yard or doing other gardening activities.
Yeah, that's a part of it that I think people don't realize necessarily, is that some of that composting is produced, of course, most of it is produced by the bulk collection of trees and limbs and grass and things like that, but there's also some of the stuff that comes out of the actual sewage processing that goes into that too. And you mentioned, but I don't think people always understand this, that you're recycling, whether it's yard waste or grass and clippings and trees, or whether it's, you know, plastic and jugs and cardboard. Both of those primarily are designed to be environmentally friendly, but also designed to divert from the landfill, where you hope to have to put as little as possible, both because it's an end depository and because it costs you money, right? If you can recycle it either way, then that's avoiding the tipping fee at the landfill, right?
Yes, it is less expensive to go through the recycling process than it is to go through the process of just taking it straight to the landfill. So there's a financial incentive as well to maximize their recycling. Keep in mind, we are a publicly owned facility. We're not a private investor-owned facility. So our goal is to keep rates as low as we can, and the best way we can provide benefit to the folks who own us, which are our customers, is to keep our costs down. So the best level of participation we can get from our customers in the recycling effort helps us avoid costs at the landfill and paying those tipping fees, and therefore helps us keep rates down.
Absolutely. And that's something I know a lot of people have been concerned that, you know, the recycling isn't making money. Well, but if it just breaks even, you're still making money because it's not spending the tipping fees, which is good. We're talking to Bruce Woody. He's the executive director at ECUA. Obviously, the big question is about the proposed rate increase. We'll get to that here in a second, but I knew there was some background I wanted to get to first. Davis Allen has a quick traffic on the fives.
In I-10, I-110, 3 Mile Bridge continuing to check in clear. All other major roadways like Gulfbreeze Parkway, 9 Mile Road, Avalon, and Garson all checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Back to Bruce Woody, the executive director for ECUA. So you knew this is the question that was coming. There's been a proposed rate increase. First, that is not in effect. There's going to be 2 months worth of hearings, right?
Yes, we have to go through a public hearing process, kind of a first reading and a second reading. You provide opportunities for feedback from the general public. We'll be having one of those in our July meeting, another one in our August meeting.
And why propose a rate increase? Why is this necessary? I know a lot of people will look at this and say, you know, we don't have money, just like nobody's got, you know, like nobody wants to spend extra money on sanitation and sewage. So why should we be willing to provide a rate increase?
A couple things to think of. First off, we run two different enterprises, so they run independently of each other. First, one is water and wastewater. The proposed rate increase on that side is 2.5%. In previous years, you may remember we had a 0%. We had no increase at all last year, and the year before that, it was only 2.3%. The increase proposed for this year is so we can aggressively go after state funding that is being provided through to the EPA, to the state of Florida, for various environmental projects. So we want to use that rate increase to as match money to get 50% on the dollar increase toward environmental projects such as septic sewer conversions and other environmental projects within our area. So these are investments to help bring money back from the state back into our community.
So okay, so on the sewage side, we're looking to generate revenue so that we not have to dip into reserves, so that we can get matching funds to do septic to sewer conversions, like in Brownsville, is one of the big projects, right?
Precisely.
Okay,
yes.
And then on the actual sanitation, the garbage collection side.
On the garbage collection side, we are proposing 9.5%. That is a significant rate, an increase, I understand, but we haven't had one in quite some time. We are still, even after that increase, we're still $5 a month less than the city of Pensacola. That's a whole 11% less. Last year, we only had a 2% raise, and the year before that, only 5%. The emphasis on this particular rate increase is to help boost salaries for CDL drivers, to help retain those folks so we can be as efficient as we can and maintain our routes. We're also having to pay for higher costs for disposal of waste at the landfill. Not that the rates are going up, but our quantities are going up. We charge a fixed rate to our customers, and last year, the year before, the rate had pretty consistently been about 1.2 tons of waste per person. Last year, it's gone up to about 1.5. So over $500,000 of that increase all goes toward just paying costs at the landfill, just a straight pass-through.
So not only are there more people, which the natural reaction is, well, okay, we're paying more fees to fine, but there are each of us is generating more waste to the landfill, which is, of course, a more expensive proposition. Interesting. I didn't know that piece. And the last thing, Bruce Woody, is if they have a route that gets a missed pickup, email, because email is easier to handle and make sure that you get copies of and sent around to the right people and track than phone calls. Phone calls are fine, but emails are better, right?
That's true. I would really encourage everybody to download an app on their phone called Recycle Coach. Once you put in your address, it'll give you reminders of when trash day and recycling day is. It's a feedback mechanism where through the app you can file information to us, whether it's a compliment, a complaint, or missed pickup. We can get that information through the app, which is a nice, convenient tool for our customers.
Outstanding. Jay Bruce Woody, he is the Executive Director for the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us. I super appreciate you joining us on a day that's kind of a holiday, but giving us an update. I'm sure we'll have you back to talk as we get more into this rate increase proposal. But again, hey, nobody probably says it too much, but thanks for taking care of our trash and our sewage. Somebody has to, and we appreciate that you guys do.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. Nice talking to you.
Absolutely.